This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so excited you're joining me today. I got a really special guest and a furry guest on the line as well. We're going to be talking to author Catherine Michon about her latest book, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever. And of course, I think Tucker will chime in as well. So we're going to talk to Catherine a little bit about the book. We're going to talk to her about some special projects and initiatives she's got going on. And then, of course, we won't let her off the hook without talking to her about writing in general and how she's such a master and wizard at the craft. So it's a fun, fun show. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right for this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is best-selling author, stand-up comic, actress, feature film director, screenwriter, producer, animal advocate, and I hear she makes a mean chocolate chip cookie. So we're talking about Catherine Michon. Catherine, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. It just that when you list my resume, it sounds like I can't keep a job.
Oh, my God. Well, it is quite impressive. That is for sure. And you're quite impressive as well. And I'm super excited about the latest book, which is I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever.
Yeah. So
tell us a little bit about the book in general and how it all came about.
Well, it's interesting. My husband, W. Bruce Cameron, who wrote the now legendary novel, A Dog's Purpose, which we went on to turn into a movie that we were both the screenwriters on that film and two other films of his books. From the very beginning in 2010, you know, the A Dog's Purpose philosophy is that dogs have immortal souls just as we do and that we meet again.
Yes.
And a lot of people, millions of people, have found A Dog's Purpose to be comforting because of that. But we always realize that A Dog's Purpose, the novel, is not maybe the book you hand someone when they've just come back from guiding their best friend over the Rainbow Bridge. And Bruce had asked me to think about writing a book that would be a companion gift book to the original A Dog's Purpose, that would be an art-filled sort of a free verse poem from the point of view of an angel dog who wants you to know that they are still here, but they are also there over the Rainbow Bridge with all the people and animal souls that you have loved, and that this relationship that we have with them is a forever relationship, and that this book would celebrate that, and that this would be a book that, you know, you could remember your angel dog lovingly, joyfully, and perhaps it would allow you to open your heart to another dog.
And that's how all this sort of got started, isn't it, in the first place?
Yeah, he asked me to do it. He said, I don't think this is the kind of book I write. I think this is the kind of book you write. Because really, it, in some ways, it's like our movies, because it's really just the dog talking to you. There's no other people talking. There's no narrative prose. You know, it really is just the dog telling you what it's like to be an angel dog. And then he just, you know, I think of him as a he, because my own dog, Tucker, became the model for the angel dog for all of the paintings that are in the book. It's a beautiful art-filled book of watercolor paintings of all kinds of dogs, but the narrating dog is in there quite a bit. And so since it started in COVID and I didn't really have access to any other dog, it became that Tucker became the model for that angel dog. And honestly, I kind of also refer to him as my co-author because, you know, he just sat at my feet while I was writing it, and the dog has a lot of things to tell you. And some of it, you know, he's very much wants you to know how important chicken is. Chicken is a high priority for this angel dog. And then there's a whole section in the book where he talks about tricks that people make dogs do that are kind of ridiculous, but dogs will do them because they love people, like sit, which is stupid in his opinion, and stay, which is even worse. If you think sit is bad, wait till you hear stay. He's just guiding you through his doggy nature, but he also has some very profound things to say.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought that was fascinating. Well, first of all, we all know Tucker's a superstar, you know, international film star.
He's really the Brad Pitt of dogs. You
know, he is. He's handsome as the Dickens. That is for sure. So we know that. We know that to begin. And I love the fact that he was there the whole time you're writing the book. So he was your muse. He was there to correct you if you got the chicken part wrong, all these wonderful things. So I love how you incorporated him as your co-author in the book, because I firmly believe that they're master teachers. You know, they're for us in so many different ways. One of them is to make sure we're doing things the right way and helping us along and pushing us forward and to be our best self and to fulfill our best purpose as well.
I think they're spiritual teachers if you let them be. I think they tilt always towards joy, and they want you to tilt towards joy. And, you know, in the book, the dog also says that he knows that dogs don't live as long as people. And I think dogs do know that. And that in his mind, it's purposeful because dogs go first and we show you that it's no big deal and that it's just a passage into another phase. And also, when we cross over the Rainbow Bridge, that means they can be there to greet us. And I think there's wisdom in that. I personally believe that that is true. And then if you talk to people who work in hospice, for example, they will tell you that over and over again at the end of someone's life, they will see people and animals that they love, you know, almost at the end of the bed, guiding them forward. And I think that's real. And the book thinks that's real.
that's the
book, you know.
Well, I think you're spot on. I mean, it resonates with me. One of the things that I do is I work with people that have had animals that are making their transition, and then dealing with the grieving process after they have made their transition.
Yeah.
And I've always proclaimed that when we make that transition and when our animals make that transition, that they're surrounded by pure love and they're surrounded by those souls, those entities, those energies, however we want to label it, that are familiar to them, that they knew in their human or in their animal, their furry form, but also those that had the heart connection with you, their human companion. It's very comforting. So I love that part of it. And I also love the aspect that it resonated with me is the fact that they are, you know, really furry angels at this point. So they're not tethered to that body. They can come back and help us through the healing process, guide us, be our guiding light forward, answer questions for us. But on the other hand, they're free and untethered to go back into that heavenly space of love, that rainbow bridge, to be around familiar energies and love on that side. So it's actually quite comforting, as you said, and a very brilliant thing that they're able to do.
Oh, I love that it resonated with you. I think anybody that knows your dog's purpose brand will expect that I'm still here. A dog's purpose forever is sort of carrying that message forward, do you know? And I think that people need that reminder that their soul is eternal, that their dog's soul is eternal. And also, there's really no other book out there that allows you to celebrate that relationship, to memorialize that relationship. So we designed the book specifically so that when it's a hardcover book, it's beautiful. It's printed on watercolor paper, which is amazing because, you know, the book is full of watercolor paintings. But the first thing you see on the front leaf is this beautiful watercolor painting of paw prints and footprints in the sand. And so we designed it that way so that that's a place where you can mount a photo of a dog that you want to dedicate the book to. So that was specifically an intention that I had that came from people, from talking to fans. Fans were like, I want to be able to put my dog's picture in the book. I want to customize it. I want to make it truly be my book. you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit it on the head. I'm stumbling because I'm thinking of all these great things about that I love about the book, the watercolor you mentioned, because it's comforting to me. When I look through the book and look through the watercolors, you know, you're presenting this to someone or you're purchasing the book for yourself, however it is, to remember your animal, to go through the healing process, to go back through on those times that you're feeling down, you can go through the story and feel comforted there. And the watercolored pages and the illustrations just make that comfort flow.
Oh, that's happy to hear. Yeah.
So I love that part of it. And I also loved how you wrote it. You know, we're not talking about it. It's not sentences, you know, it's not like a photo picture and, you know, here's some sentences. It's almost poetic. You know, we're hearing the dog's voice.
Thank you. I meant for it to be basically free verse poetry, which is a hard thing to define, except that it's almost like a soliloquy. It's almost like this dog sort of taking you through his universe view, you know, of the nature of life and eternal life and love and what it's all about and purpose. Big themes for a little dog, you know? I mean, but that's always been the a dog's purpose thing. You know, if you go back to our films, the first film ends with the dog in the voice of Josh Gad, you know, saying, be here now. Don't sweat the little things, you know, just don't get all sad and scrunchy faced. I think that's the line we wrote. The dog is telling you real wisdom that will improve your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that W. Bruce Cameron, he is a smart cookie. I will say, I won't say it when he's on in the ear with me, but I'll tell you right now, he's a smart cookie because
brilliant.
Yeah, he is brilliant. Because I love what you guys have done with this whole the whole series, and you know, oftentimes I know you're a brilliant marketer. I do know that for sure, and it does make sense a lot of times when you're. I've talked to other authors, and they have a book, and then they do several companions because that's what their editors are demanding, and maybe they come up with some items, some tchotchke, things like that. That's perfectly fine. That's great. But the one thing I love that you guys do throughout, from originally from The Dog's Purpose and Bruce's series of books, and then this wonderful companion book that adds to it, they're not just add-on items. They are a constant reminder of this. You know, I reference back to the books, the films, and now your book, I'm Still Here, is the fact that it just is a constant reminder of the purpose of the dog, you know, and purpose of animals in general, all the way through to when they make their transition, then coming back. I just think you guys have done a fantastic job with that. And I know you're the key marketer behind all this.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever. The title is very purposeful, to make a pun almost, because it really is about what is that eternal nature of that relationship. And I believe that these creatures, dogs, see themselves as our helpers, our guides, our teachers. And we really, the reason Bruce asked me to write the book, he really wanted to explore that more, but in the real life way of what happens when you lose a dog. Like, what was the purpose of that? You know?
Right.
And I think there is a purpose. I think that it teaches us that life as we know it is finite, and that you have to seize the moment, you have to be here now, and that's yet another thing that these creatures that we do not deserve teach us, that it is absolutely purposeful that they go first, and that we should thank them for that, and that a book like this that's like a keepsake, that's like a talisman. I did another podcast. I said, no one will insult me if they call this a bathroom book. I would love it if this sat on a little table in your bathroom, and just in that few moments, you page through it and remember what they're trying to teach us. They're trying to teach us to be here now, to tilt towards joy, tilt towards love. You know, I think that's their message.
Well, I think the bathroom is our ideal spot for reflection and time to ourselves. So I think
whatever that amount of time is,
that's it.
You refocus your consciousness, your soul, your intention for the day. I would be thrilled if this book was the bathroom book of the year, you know? I want people to get back in touch with what their teachers, their dogs are trying to teach you.
Yeah. And in the moment, I love how you positioned that too. I'm always talking to people about, you know, taking your dog for a walk is fantastic, but put the phone down. It's not texting time. It's time to, you know, smell the flowers like he does and hike, you know, maybe not hike the leg, but, you know, see what they're seeing, feel what they're feeling, feeling the energy around.
The fact that we have to take them for a walk, most people do. I mean, there's so many statistics that show that people that have dogs live longer. They live longer. What are the reasons? Well, a very simple one is just taking your steps. And another one is that they can lift you out of depression, lift you out of, you know, self-reflection. They are amazing at that. They're like therapists that you pay in chicken, you know?
There you go. Exactly right. And they are, you know, they teach you how to live in that moment because that's where they live as well. And I tell people, you know, my clients all the time, pay attention to that. Be in that moment with them because you're going to have a great deal of reflection. You're going to have great insight. It's that time where your conscious mind perhaps shuts down and your subconscious opens up. So that allows everything to flow through quickly. And don't wait until your animal has made their transition to reflect back on what's going on.
It's a today thing. And I'm one of those trippy people, okay? I do believe in angels. I do believe in human angels. I believe that my dad is a very annoying angel, but I love him. And he visits. And, you know, in the book, the dog talks about one way that angels can visit is things with wings. That, you know, if a thing with wings, a dragonfly or a hummingbird, keeps showing up, that might be someone you love coming to say hello. And my dad is a very annoying dragonfly who will live in the house for like days on end and, you know, drive us crazy. But we actually had an angel encounter that Bruce and I believe was real right around the time that we published the original A Dog's Purpose. You know, he wrote that book because I had a dog named Ellie who died young before I met Bruce, just before I met Bruce. And when we were starting to get serious, I said, I will never have another dog. And that would not work for W. Bruce Cameron. And he's a natural storyteller. And he just literally on a car ride came up on the spot with the story of A Dog's Purpose, told it to me on the car ride for like an hour and a half driving up the 101 in California. And everything that's in the book and the movie was in that car ride. And I finished listening and I was crying and I said, well, you're going to have to, that's going to be a classic book. You have to write that book. And I see your point. I see that the love that I had for my dog could be available to me from another dog and I should let that in.
I love it.
So anyway, around the time that we published that book, we were sitting at the dining room table and my dog, Ellie, the dog who'd passed, I had her collar on a bookshelf near the dining room table. And Bruce said, you know, I wonder if Ellie is still around and what she thinks of us having gotten Tucker and how all that would be. And literally the moment he finished saying it, her collar just flew off the shelf and landed on the floor. And I do live in California. We do have earthquakes, but we were not having an earthquake. Like there was no earthly reason that I can think of why that would happen. And then we both said, well, I guess she's good with it.
That's it. Well, I absolutely believe in that. That is absolutely true. You know, I can account so many stories that I've had and my clients have had as well. Real quick, when I remember we had a Pomeranian dog that we got in college. Well, I'll try to consolidate this, but basically my wife and I, we are high school sweethearts. So we grew up together. And so, we've been together quite some time. And in college, you know, I lived in the dorms. I lived in the fraternity house. Then I finally got my first dumpy old apartment. And of course, you know, guys are always like 10 steps behind on the logic thing. She always wanted a dog. And I never thought about getting one in college. But a day after I got my dumpy little apartment, we encountered a Pomeranian, which she always wanted Pomeranians. And next thing I know, I don't have my dumpy apartment by myself. I've got me and the puppy Pomeranian. I realized, you know, about 10 days later that, oh, okay, it was the master plan of the future missus that set this into play.
We're tricky people.
Tricky people, and we're always 10 steps behind us guys. So anyway, so she lived a very long life. And when she got to be about 12 years old, we decided to build a new house across town, brand new house, leveled the ground, you know, build it from scratch all the way up. And she always had this ability or her voice. Every time we would come home from work, she would bark one time. And then we'd open the door and she'd be inside. So we built this brand new house. One of the first things we thought as we were pulling into the driveway, it hit us that I wonder if we'll ever hear that bark again. Will it be attached to the previous house or, you know, these type of things? And literally, before we could hit the remote control on the garage, one bark. And it was her bark. So she was letting you know there's no time and distance. I'm not attached to a house. I'm always here and always going to be here for you. So I love your story, and that's sort of one that I've experienced over the years too. So I'm a big believer in that, obviously, and I'm glad you recognize the angels all around you. Even my father, who was a real frugal gentleman, we'll put it kindly, couldn't spare a nickel unless you really begged him for it. After he made his transitions, I found every day I would find a nickel on the ground. This went on for weeks and weeks. And finally, I smiled and thought to myself, yeah, Dad, that's you. You're leaving a nickel. Why don't you just leave a quarter or, you know, something, if you're bigger
that's
denomination.
That's not his way.
Not his way. But guess what happened the very next day? A quarter appeared on the ground in front of me.
He's like, all right, I'll up the stakes.
This is it. I'm only going to do it once. There was only one quarter, nothing else. But yeah, he got his point across for sure.
I love that. Well, I mean, I think it's just really a beautiful thing that dogs, you know, people always say God is dog spelled backwards. And I think that's a trick of language, except, you know, for me, spiritually, God should be a relatively simple concept. God is love. And dogs are love, and they are relatively simple creatures. I think we make spirituality complicated, and we fight over it, and we have wars over it. And if there's any coincidence to the fact that dog is God spelled backwards, I think the message is get back to the simplicity of God, which is love.
Yes.
Don't turn it into a holy war.
I agree. Big kudos on that. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we'll come back and continue our conversation with Catherine Michon and talk to her a little bit more about her book, I'm Still Here, Dog's Purpose Forever. And we'll talk to her a little bit about the writing of this book, but also in general. I'll pick her brain from one of the masters. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author and uber guru of all writing skills, Catherine Michon, and her latest book, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever. Now, Catherine, before as a reminder here, I know you did something special with the book because the book's not officially launching for a little bit, for another month or so.
Yeah.
But you did a pre-launch sort of give people a special opportunity to get a special book. And at some special locations. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting me tell you about that. First of all, we've partnered with 46 independent bookstores across the United States and Canada, because we've made 3 movies in Canada and we have a lot of fans there. So we have not left Canada out. And it's a pre-sale program where you can customize this book. As I was talking about before, you get a beautiful art quality book plate that's signed by me, signed by my husband, the author of the original Dog's Purpose, W. Bruce Cameron, and signed by our cover model and my co-author, Tucker. We actually captured his paw print, and his paw print will be applied to the book plate, and it has a beautiful poem on it that will inscribe it to your angel dog. So we made one for our friend Tilly, who was the angel dog that lived next door, and I wrote on it for Tilly, who is still here, but who is also there with all the souls we've loved, souls bound in love forever. So that book plate goes right opposite the title page. But then we also send you a little DIY photo kit with these gilded photo corners that allow you to mount a photograph of your dog on that beautiful painting of the paw prints and the footprints in the sand. And all of that is free, except you have to pay shipping because they're not on Amazon. These are little independent bookstores who really suffered in COVID, and we want to keep them alive. So I'm not doing signed books anywhere else. The only way you can get a signed first edition of the book is to go to adogspurposeforever.com and look at the list of 46 stores and pick one and order your book and give your inscription instructions in the comments section. And it's a really beautiful opportunity to turn the book into a keepsake. And also, the book is actually already a bestseller on Amazon and on Barnes and Noble, which is wonderful. But this publisher kind of didn't know that was going to happen. So they've already had to order two more print runs, which means the only way you can get a first edition is to pre-order from anywhere. You could pre-order on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. I'm suggesting if you want it to be signed, you should do it through one of the indies. But there will be no first editions on September 10th when this book comes out because it's already run through so many copies. So I'll just tell you the thing about first editions. So A Dog's Purpose published, it was dedicated to me because the story was written for me, and it was a very beautiful thing. And I, as you mentioned, I am a pretty dedicated marketer, and I was working so hard to get people to know about the book that, you know, they give you 20 copies. The publisher gives you 20 copies, and that's it, for free. And I gave away every single one of them to reviewers or to bookstore owners or whatever. And those were the only first editions. And the same thing happened with that book. They ran out, like on day one, there were no more first editions. So I didn't have a first edition of this, what became a number one best-selling book that was dedicated to me. So I had to go on eBay and pay $200 to get a first edition because I had given them all away. So to anybody who cares about that or thinks that they might like that collectible first edition, they really should pre-order the book from anywhere, but then they should do it soon because they will go away, as I learned rather expensively myself. So
an expensive lesson learned. I love that. And yeah. How dare they doubt you guys? They should have known from the get-go this thing would sell out. When I first heard the book that you wrote the book and it was coming out, I was thrilled, obviously. And then what you did with it after that, I think it's a beautiful way forward, helping independent bookstores, first of all, special edition, only time you can get a signed one. I think everything you did with it was very sweet, kind, very brilliant in every way. And of course, I don't expect anything less from you, Catherine.
Thank you. But we have a very active relationship with our fans. We have almost 500,000 fans on social media, and we have conversations. We talk to people. It's not like if you go to our Facebook page or our Dog's Purpose page, we'll have a conversation with you. We want to have a conversation with you about the things we create. And all of this ability to customize the book, the photo kit, the art book plate, all of that came from requests, what fans wanted. They like, I want to be able to make this book be in honor of my angel dog or my friend's angel dog. Like, and there are no adult, you could read this book to a child. There's nothing controversial about it, but it is written for adults. It is meant to be of comfort and joy to adults. And there's nothing else out there. If you go to your local bookstore and say, my friend, her dog just passed. What can I get him for a gift? It's like, I don't know. That gift book is not out there. It's like something that's very needed, I think.
That's it. Yeah, it's very neat and helpful, and it's a very personal touch. I remember back my father-in-law years ago, whether it was one of my books or just a book in general, if we gifted it, he would return it back until there was something inscribed on it. It was signed,
yeah,
and there was some sort of message.
Tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that carries on in this book with the tradition, and it takes it a little bit step further as well. And I've said it on this show many, many times. I'm blessed to have this show and to be able to have so many great books and get to speak to the authors and have friendships with the various authors. But I will say my bookshelves are limited, and there's only X number of spots that the books that I'm going to reference back to time and time again. And this book is definitely one that will be on my shelf for sure.
You know, it's funny. I've had some emotional things, family illnesses lately, you know, just things that sort of challenge you. And I have picked up the book, you know, because it really reminds me about what really matters and what's eternal. And, you know, I think that there are certain books that can be like a touchstone, a keepsake that lift you up. And I'm really hopeful that I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever is that book. I will say, you know, it went out on NetGalley in digital arcs, and the reviews, like on Goodreads, like there's like 80 some reviews now, and it's just overwhelming how many people are loving it and saying, you know, I just put my dog down. This really is helping me. This reminds me why I don't regret having had that relationship.
Yeah, you know, and I've always been, I wouldn't use the word amazed, but it always touches me in the fact that I think when it comes to our animals, we all love our animals. Everybody knows it. Some of us show it more than others. But at the end of the day, I think we also, as humans, wonder if we're the only ones. Or, you know, should I be feeling this way? Is it okay for me to be grieving this? And
yeah, or some people will shame people and say, well, it's just a dog, or, you know, and I'm like, no. These are family members. Tucker is part of our family. All the dogs that we have loved have been part of our family. And I think it's appropriate when you have a relationship with a creature who does nothing but give you unconditional love, a little bit conditional sometimes regarding chicken.
Always have chicken.
Yeah, I will say there are some things that he advocates for, but in general, he will love you without chicken coming forth, you know? And I think that it teaches us that grief is appropriate and important when you have lost the physical presence of a soul that you love. This book is meant to remind you, it's right there in the title, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever, that they are still here and that the relationship is forever. And that is something that you can be a touchstone, can bring you back to your center to help you move through loss or grief. Because if you believe, that will sustain you and it will allow you to open your heart to another dog. Both my husband and I believe that at the end of their lives, our dogs really want us to have a dog. If there isn't another dog in the house, I think they wonder who will be their dog. I'm leaving, who will be their dog? So that's a big part of the message of this book too. And, you know, in the book, the dog says, all dog souls are different, but they are all good. And I believe that. Like, they really are.
I do believe it too. I do believe it too. I believe that they're always around us. I believe that they send special dogs to us, special creatures to us in some fashion. They always show up in some fashion, whether we are out looking for them and looking for a particular type of dog and we end up with some other type, or they show up at our doorstep, or they show up at a friend's doorstep, whatever it may be, they'll come back around. And I do believe animals, that's been a part of our life, dogs will leave that teaching, that imprint with the new animal, because they're coming into their family.
Yeah, I believe that the dog you love today was sent by the dog you loved yesterday. I believe that my dog, Ellie, had a huge hand in bringing Tucker to us. And as often happens with me, I was resistant to it at first because he was brought to us by my stepdaughter who runs a rescue. And she's also a Denver cop. And she's a person who gets things done.
Yes.
And she decided that Tucker was the dog for us. And I'm like, we're not going to do an out-of-state adoption. We're not, well, we work with rescue. Well, but she says, I'm coming Wednesday. Like, she flew in the dog. And, you know, I was very, like, scrunchy face about it as we were driving to the airport. I'm like, well, look, the dog can stay for the weekend. And if it doesn't seem like it's a fit, then she can take the dog back, you know? And then I got out and was standing on the curb at Southwest, and she had a little purple purse that had Tucker in it. And she pulled him out of the purse and she handed him to me. And I was like, oh, this is my dog. Like, I lasted like 3 seconds, you know, my resistance. And he is the perfect dog for us. He, you know, he's been in movies, and he's exactly the show busy dog that we needed, you know.
That's it. He's perfect in so many ways, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I promise I have to pick your brain on writing just in general, because okay. I know
I don't like it. I'll give you a heads up. But I'm from the Gloria Steinem school of I do not like writing, but I do like having written. But I will say, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever maybe was the easiest. No, easy is not right. The most joyful writing experience that I've had, because I was so focused on the message I knew people needed to hear, this reminder that our souls are eternal and their souls are eternal and we meet again. That it was so easy to find the separate pieces and pull them in. And, you know, Tucker would do something, or I would notice something about him. You know, he hates having a bath. He acts like if somebody had a hidden camera in our house and saw how terrified he is when I put him into the bath, they would call Animal Protective Services. Like, he acts like he's being killed. And I thought, well, this dog narrator has to really have some harsh words about baths, you know? And then also in this book, because I'm also a film director and I'm a visual storyteller, I haven't written a book in 20 years. This is the first book I've published in 20 years, but I have been a visual storyteller, a filmmaker in Hollywood all that time. And so this book, I treated like a film and I storyboarded it. I was shooting thousands of pictures of him and then sourcing other pictures on the web and from fans, different images of dogs. So I basically laid it out as a visual story at the same time that I was writing it. And that was a real pleasure for me, because I have segued into being a filmmaker. And so to write a graphic book, you know, which I've never done before, but it's very much like storyboarding a movie. It's like, here's how this story is going to be told through images. And, you know, I was very focused on that. I wanted there to be differently abled dogs in the book. There's a dog in a cart. There's a tripod dog. There's different breeds, but I wanted the book to be inclusive in that way. And so that it's like all dogs are welcome and represented by the images in this book, you know?
I think that's brilliant, actually. You know, I'm always impressed. I'm always mind-boggled when I'm talking to a writer like yourself or talking to Bruce in the fact that, okay, how do you flip the switches? Because I look at switches, because writing a newspaper column, writing a magazine, writing a blog, then you write a book, and then you do a screen. They all have bits of the same things you can pull from. But on the other hand, they're totally different beings, different ways.
As you mentioned, I'm an actor, I'm a stand-up comic, I'm a director, I'm a writer. But what I am in all of these things, and what you should be if you care about any of these art forms, is you should be a storyteller. And you should know why the story you're telling is worth telling and worth listening to. There has to be a takeaway. There has to be a message or a benefit or a feeling that comes from hearing this story, because the world is full of stories and so many of them are awful. Why should a person spend the time? Why should they spend the time, even in the bathroom, flipping through I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever? Because I believe, and what I hope I achieved, is that you get a takeaway. You're like, oh, yes, I'm flipping through this book because it reminds me that my soul is eternal, and that the souls of the creatures and people I love are eternal, and that we meet again. And that means that my time was worth it. But who cares about my time? It's your time that matters. It's the reader or the watcher or the listener who matters. And that's what good storytellers in any medium should always be doing. That's what songwriters do. It's what dancers do. It's what anybody, a journalist, anybody who, you know, takes the act of telling a story.
Wonderful. I love that. And that is brilliant words of wisdom. And the message definitely comes through. So big kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
So everybody pick up a copy of the book, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever by Catherine
and
Michon.
And if you want it signed, you have to go to adogspurposeforever.com.
Yes. And go get that. That's going to be super duper special. And don't be like Catherine. We're going to spend $200 later to get one of those.
I was so upset. And literally, there were so few first editions in that first printing because they did this very small first printing that it took me a couple of months to even find a rare book dealer who had one.
There you go. So be like Catherine Michon in many, many, many ways, but don't be that way. Keep
but
your first edition.
Don't waste $200 on a book you already had. Add a ring in the house. Just probably one.
Gotta keep at least one. Catherine, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Big kudos. I love the book. Love everything you do. I love everything you and Bruce are and that you do.
Aww,
so keep up
so
the great
sweet.
Work. Yeah.
Thank you. It's been the joy of our lives that we've been able to be storytellers about dogs because they are, we don't deserve them, but we're blessed to have them. And I will always be grateful.
Well, we will look forward to talking with you again somewhere down the road. So everybody pick up a copy of the book, get the pre-order online at adogspurposeforever.com. The book is I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever by Catherine Michon. Catherine, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, we're coming to end the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, you can drop us a line. You can go to PetLifeRadio.com. We'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And who knows, you write a great story about the animals in your life, and you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.